All right, look, stop talking shit. Here we are again. Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the Bangers List podcast. You're here with Joel and Jules, and also Daniel again.
And Daniel, he's back.
It's been about 4 minutes since we last recorded an episode.
Yeah, in the studio. That's awesome.
It. What are we doing today, Joel?
This week, this day, this time, we're doing...
This place?
Black Flame by Buried Tomorrow.
What a banger.
What a banger. Look, I'm just going to start this off by saying, this is probably the best song of 2019. Get amongst it. Is that...
Well, yeah, it's actually a 2018 song.
best song I've listened to in 2019.
Yeah, I agree. And to be honest, I'd say it's one of the best songs I've heard in a very long time. It's a big call, but...
Big call. No, yeah. Sometimes there'll be a song that comes along and it's like that. It's that good.
Grab me straight away, man.
Same, because I want to thank you, man. Thank you for putting on the list, introducing me to it. I think the first time I listened to it, I was like, this is... A fucking masterpiece. Egregious.
It is a masterpiece.
You do like that word, don't you?
Don't even know what it means.
It means basically horrible.
Oh.
You've used it in like at least half the episodes.
Perfect. Because it's a very opinionated podcast and some of the opinions are flat out wrong.
No. So why the fuck do I remember that you've used it that frequently?
Fuck, the band themselves. Buried Tomorrow. Peanut, where are they from, buddy?
They're from the UK.
Weird.
Hampshire, I believe.
Really weird, because when you hear them singing... Screaming, singing, playing live. They don't sound like they're from the UK.
Accent. I know, it sort of occurred to me, well, when I actually heard them, that I haven't actually seen them live in person, but I watched some live clips of them. And then, what's his name? Daniel, the lead vocalist, or the unclean vocalist, he starts talking to the crowd with this thick Pommy accent, and they're going, what the fuck?
Weird,
like, okay, caught me off guard there.
Are we talking like just the... Like educated British sounding, or does he sounds like a geezer from East London? Like, what sort of accent are we talking here?
Oh, look.
Give us an example.
Does he sound working class, or like not related to the Queen?
I'm trying to think. Well, where geographically is Hampshire? Come on, guys. Like, is it
in England?
It is in England.
That's right.
It is in England.
In the UK, yeah.
So is it North England? Is it South? It's North.
He's let's leave it at that. He's British.
I think he sounds like
he sounds English.
Okay. So no one's going to do an example of the accent, are they?
No.
That's asking for a bit too much, I think.
I'll do it in the post-editing myself. Useless co-hosts. fuck, look. So this is it's just post-hardcore, right? I guess. For this song in particular, post-hardcore kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Cleans, heavy metal vibes.
Yes.
I'd say metalcore-ish as well.
Yeah, metalcore.
Because it's just got really, from what I remember of it, that really heavy punch.
I'll actually say it's kind of easy core, because if you said to someone that was just getting into metal, this song might be like a really good stepping stone into the rest of the genre. You can understand the screams. If you pay attention, you can understand the singing, the cleans quite well. It's very easy on the ear, good mix, everything sounds good. Yeah,
it's not too complicated either. It's only got three or four sections that they repeat.
It's weird because it does flow a really pop kind of vibe.
I'll tell you what,
I had a look. It goes like this. It goes like the intro, which is kind of like a verse intro, and then it goes verse, pre-chorus, then the chorus twice, right? And then after that, it has a coda, and it goes back to the start, and then it goes like second verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge and solo, and then the chorus again.
Do you want to explain what a coda is?
A coda is basically where you just go back to an early point in the song.
Okay.
And then the next time you get to it, you just go past it or skip over it.
Yeah.
I knew that. Perfect.
Sorry, I'm just watching little bars over here. I'm not sitting close enough.
Ah.
That's right.
Shit, Mike. So the chorus itself, though, like they repeat it 6 or 7 times in the song. It's fucking awesome chorus, eh? It's so melodic, so well done. It grabs you straight away. And almost after the sixth time, you're just like, fucking repeat it again.
Yeah.
It's good.
real deep too.
Play it one more time.
Yeah, you want to talk about the lyrics, do you?
Look, I actually wouldn't mind talking about the lyrics in this song.
So you've actually listened to the lyrics?
I've paid attention to the lyrics, Jesus, you know.
This would be the first episode that I don't know. And Daniel knows all of them.
Good on you, buddy.
Look, and I can't recite all the lyrics for you right now, but there
That's not good enough,
guys. I'm out.
You had one shot.
But the chorus in particular, like super, super deep, and just... And the more you listen to it, the more you think about it, it's like, wow, it's like it's come from a pretty dark place, you know?
Yeah, and there's like the guitar, it's like little ascending lead parts.
Yeah.
And that helps as well. And lyrics, the melody kind of follows it a bit.
Yeah, the guitar is, you know, is really melodic throughout throughout the duration of the entire song. You think the intro starts off with that... with that that tapping, right?
Yeah.
That's been a bit of a theme recently, tapping intros, and we had that with the Polaris song as well, and maybe even what was it?
They did have that. I just think about that. I thought that was maybe an over effect, but no, that's
no. I think it's
like
I think
guitar,
it's
isn't it?
Yeah, look, it could be an over effect, but it does sound like guitar to me. But
it's just because it fades in.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was maybe a little I got a little trancey vibe from it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and what I really like about it is it's tapping, but it's tapping melodically. It's not just tapping for the sake of tapping, just to, you know, make loud, fast noises, right? Like you think of, you know, as good a solo as it is, but one by Metallica, that tapping solo towards the end of the song where it really starts to thrash about. Like tapping's usually traditionally associated with a more thrashier kind of style of metal, right?
Yeah.
And now she's melodically, and it's just beautiful. Like the timing's a little bit different. It's
Is it just a clean effect on the guitar, or is that distorted? Or
no, it's just because they're using the higher notes.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
It's more. It's still like a still
it's
a gainy
fast.
Guitar. Yeah,
it's still fast, but it's still melodic.
You can't have one with the other. Like,
and
you
that's only the start of the song. The rest of the song gets better.
Oh yeah, oh absolutely.
Actually, I want to ask you, since you've looked at the lyrics, what the fuck do you think they're about?
Well, look,
I
think, as they tend to do, the chorus more or less sums it up. I haven't done my research into sort of interviews as to what the members have said about it, but I think that's the beauty of any sort of song. You can have your own kind of interpretation of it.
I'll stop right there. And speaking of interpretations,
mm.
I have a fucking stupid tattoo on my chest that says Seasick Heart because I thought the guys from Parkway meant... Stop, I can't tell the story.
I don't think it's a stupid... I think it's a great tattoo.
It's my own interpretation. I thought they meant... Fucking idiots. I thought they meant they missed the ocean because I like grew up on the coast a little bit. So now I got this dumb tattoo that says Seasick Heart. In reality, they were just fucking... They felt sick.
Yeah. But, you know, your interpretation is different.
Exactly.
Right?
So what was your interpretation, though, of this jam?
Well, look, it's... I think death is a big... Obviously, a big theme.
Yeah, something about death. Yep.
Yeah, it's and I think, you know, what's the line? You know, in death we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just, you know, that sums it up, doesn't it? I think it's, you know, just doesn't matter what life you live, we're all gonna die eventually.
Yeah,
right. You know, and that's
very poignant again.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Let's just fuck around with this a bit. There we go. Oh, you pull that one there. And, yeah, we're good.
Perfect.
It kind of reminds me of the chorus from... I've completely forgotten what the fucking song was called. Yeah. What was episode 2? Vale of Maya.
Yeah, Echo Chamber.
Yeah, kind of like three. That. That was a little bit... Oh, episode 3, so fuck off. just kind of like the finality of life, the brevity of the situation. It's sort of, like you say, just like everything happens. Everything's the same when you die.
Yeah.
So,
but the film clip, it's kind of weird. It's like... miners have found like this black flame and they give it to like some cultists or some shit. It's kind of weird, but the band themselves say the black flame is what they call their fan base.
Oh right,
you know, so it's an interesting little thing, but I don't know what
fact
to go with.
I'm starting to get the impression that you and I shouldn't answer his question about what we think it's about, because he's always got the band. It's like, by the way, that was dumb. Now here's what the band actually said.
It's not dumb. It's like, it's good to hear your personal interpretation, so that's, I like it anyway. Yeah, just about death and sadness, but it's so upbeat and like powerful, man.
It's bittersweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got a bittersweet kind of feel to it. You know, I think at its core, it's a sad song, but there's like that, the other layers in the song, particularly the guitar and the beat behind it, really give that sense of hope, you know, that like it might be.
One of the things I got away from that, one of the things I got from it in that respect, sorry, was that, like we've talked about before, it's not just stupid heavy the whole way through. And I think that definitely has an effect on it, which sort of ties into, I thought these guys were from Japan when I first heard it straight away. I got that trancey vibe from it because, you know, other bands like Maximum the Hormone, Bloodstained Child, they'll have a lot of that sort of trancey element to it. But then I listened to a lot of the riffing in the verse and they sound really In Flamesy as well. So back to what I was saying, it's like it's heavy, but it's not really, really aggressive heavy. So it has more of a melodic feel, and that can carry more of a positive feel to it as well.
Yeah, that's why I say it's kind of easy to introduce someone to it.
It's good.
Easy listening. For me, when that kind of that melodic feel really hits home is it's during the verse, namely the second verse following the first chorus. It's where the you'll have the what's the word, the technical term you gave for it when you reuse the coda. Yeah, so when they've got the that intro section kind of coming into play again, and leads into that second verse, and you've got the main guitar riff kicking in, and then you've got the extra layered harmony coming in on the guitar as well. I think it sounds like a minor third to me, which is commonly used in more so classic metal, but it's good to see it used in hardcore and modern metal as well. I'm all for it. I think it's beautiful, and it just ties it all together so beautifully.
Makes it more powerful as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that something, not being super familiar with guitar, is that something you can play live with two guitarists?
Yeah.
Or do you need a third?
No. A lot of bands will, because the harmonies are such a crucial part of the song, guitar harmonies, often what the bands will do, if there's, you know, if it's, for instance, the band has two guitarists and they've recorded three guitar tracks, they will ditch one of the guitar tracks and play the harmonies because it's just, you know, so vital.
Do people ever have their like guitar tech play behind the stage?
I imagine they do, or they use dubs on stage as well. You know, and every band's a little bit different. I know Zachy Vengeance and Sinister Gates from Avenged Sevenfold love their lead guitar harmonies. That's one of their sounds. Even like
hallmarks, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like going back as far as bands like Judas Priest. You know, they would rock that maybe sort Iron of thing Maiden? Too. Iron Maiden for sure, yeah. Iron Maiden.
Yeah, they
for sure.
do. They definitely yep. do. Yeah.
And because they've got three guitarists, they're blessed in that sense. They can pull it all off live, but more people to pay. So fuck that. But can't do that
do
these
you think
days.
That's cheating. What do we reckon? Now that we're all a little bit older, a little bit wiser. Because 10 years ago, I would have said that's cheating.
Me too.
I would have said if you can't play it live with the band members you've got, it doesn't count. You know.
But
I think there's a difference between
That's okay.
Cut you off. I think there's a difference between doing something like that with something that enhances the song even more, and then there's just, oh, we couldn't play this live, so we put it on a backing track. Mm. You know what I mean? I think there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah, it's I think it comes down to, you know, the live track and the studio track are different pieces of art. You know, if you can't do you're not going to be able to do everything. There's so many layers in studio versions. Like, there's so many little things. Like, you know, if you look at there are these YouTube videos out of people of bands recording their songs, and they break down the tracks, and you look at the layers. Sometimes there's like 30, 40 plus layers in a song, and you've only really got what a typical metal band will have, like 4 or 5 members. So how are you going to pull that off? I mean, I think what I've come to learn is that you've just got to treat them differently. Like, don't, and if they do use dubs, or if they, you know, if they have, they use other tools live, well then that's fine if they think that's best.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if that's,
I can easily
they
say
know
that,
it works best for them.
You know? Yeah, I can easily say that a lot of bands that I really, really like these days, I know that they use a backing track when they play live, or one of the things I was going to mention was a lot of bands will play to a click.
Yep.
So you sort of think, oh, you know, how do they always play to a backing track? But a lot of bands play to a click now.
Yeah.
Which, again, 10 years ago, I would have said that's cheating. But I think bands that, you know, a lot of bands that play to a click are still really good, and they probably don't need it. But a lot of them have said, we want our live show to be so harnessed and so tight that this is what we do and this is why we do it.
Yeah.
Polaris is one of them. Their guitarist has said they play to a click.
Yeah.
But I think they're good enough, they don't need it, but it just makes that live element so much better. And that's how you have that backing track as well. And you could speed that up and slow it down to however fast you wanted to play
yeah.
live.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, like I said, 10 years ago, that would have been cheating. I wouldn't want a bar of it. But I guess yeah. it's just the reality of music.
I'm very much the same. Like, you know, I think as I get older and wiser, a bit more open-minded.
Yeah, they're playing a show, man. Exactly. They're delivering that
exactly.
product.
They got to do what they got to do. And
I guess it just as a musician, you think, oh, well, you know, you should be able to do that live. Like, you know, you're looking at another musician going, oh, you can't do the same thing live. But it's you got to step out of that I'm a musician mentality into the,
yeah.
like you say, this is a piece of art.
Yeah. And going back to clicks as well, I've never personally played live to a click yeah. In the bands I've been in, the one or the two bands I guess I've been in my lifetime, but I've personally spoken to people who have played to a click, and they said it's a lot harder to pull off. Like they think
wouldn't it get drowned out? The sound of the click get drowned out to everything else that's going on.
Well, I think it's basic.
The
yeah, it but it's also it's more or less the drummer. My understanding is the drummer plays to the click. Yeah. And then if the drummer's in time with the click,
follow him.
Then you follow the drummer. Yeah. So it's not much different for the rest of the members, but the drummer's got a tough task at hand. I don't know. How would you feel as a drummer yourself, Julian?
I've never actually thought about what it'd be like to play as a drummer to a click. I think a lot of people would go, oh, it would be really easy. But I think it would, for the first few times you do it, or for a while, I'd say, I think it'd be more stressful. Because I've recorded a few times before. And playing to a click is not something that's you just fall straight into, I feel.
Almost doesn't feel natural.
No, it doesn't. And then you can realise just how fucking out of time you are.
He's laughing yeah. at me because I fucking suck at playing to a click.
Oh, mate.
The worst.
I reckon we could have put out like twice as many covers if you had to play to a click. Just saying.
It definitely helps. But, I mean, it's also the scratchy that you get recorded as well. For those that don't know, the scratchy is slang for scratch track, which is basically you figure out as a band what tempo you want your click to run at and your song to run at, and then your guitarist will just record like a rough version of the song to the click, and then so when you go to record as a drummer, the guitars keep up with where you are in the song, and then the click helps you keep in time. So I don't know, it can be really jarring. You can realize, oh shit, okay, I'm not as tight as I thought I was, or you know, it really helps yeah. you slow down and pace yourself. So I think both ways, it can be difficult but can also be really good too, but it's not something you get used to straight away, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad we went on that fucking 10 minute tangent, because I was going to talk about the actual band themselves, like the singer himself. Fuck,
which one?
The screamer.
Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah, so I've only heard a couple of songs live, but I don't know, it's almost like he struggles. He's like tearing through different styles of screaming when in the song it's just like the same scream. He's like has to talk a few words while he's taking a breath, and he delivers his scream, and some fall flat, some don't hit.
Well, I mean,
and I don't know if that's for the show or if he's actually struggling, but I don't know, it's just not quite as good as the song
yeah.
personally. But
yeah, I see.
Cool. To say it.
I've seen I mostly agree with you in that sense. I've seen a couple of live clips of Black Flame, and I think it's still got the energy, which is good.
Yeah, definitely something like captures that energy. Wise.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's, you know, talking about being older and wiser, I've also come to learn that you can't expect it to be as good.
No,
like you can't expect the singer to be. You
no,
can't
fuck that purity or nothing.
Like even the best singers in the world, even like you know,
Katy Perry.
Yeah, even Katy Perry's no good live. Man.
I mean, is anyone really surprised by that?
Stop it, she's amazing.
But it's look, all singers are going to have better days than others, live it's never going to quite be the same, but if they can get it, like, you know, mostly there.
They have two singers for the record.
They do, yeah. They've got
so
the
one clean,
Jason on cleans, he's also the rhythm guitarist. Okay. Kudos to that as well, because that, you know, that really kind of that syncopated rhythm he's playing on the guitar while singing, like, I know obviously when he would have recorded the tracks separately when they made the song, but live that would be insanely hard to pull off.
Teaching your brain like polyrhythms, as you guys would know, is quite difficult.
As normally you see a bass player is normally the staple for the clean vocalist filling role.
There's one band that does that, mate, come on. Just because Amity does it doesn't mean everyone does it.
Polaris.
Fuck Polaris. Shit. Two bands.
Yeah. For all those sleeping.
Oh, all right, stop.
point proof.
Anyway, I won't argue with you anymore.
All three are on this list.
shit, man.
No, all I was going to say in that respect was, when it comes to a vocalist's ability to sustain throughout the duration of a set, for instance, there's a Wage War song that comes to mind. I actually sent you the video for it. It's called Stitch. It's just a live recording they released. Yeah, no, on the Warped Tour. My point I'm getting at is, old mate, the lead singer, was getting a lot of hate in the comment section, saying, "Oh, you know, he's doing that. He's talking every couple of lines." And I guess this just as an example, so, you know, a few other people had said, "I was at that set, and that was the last song they did." So, like, you know, you can't expect someone to be able to do that on like Warped Tour over and over and over. So you never know. Like, you might catch a band at the start of a tour, and then the singers sound fucking unreal, and they're doing a 30-day tour over 46 days.
Exactly.
So by the end of it, like, it's not that a singer doesn't want to do, like, carry their voice the entire way through. It's just literally they can't. Like, their voice is just really starting to unwind on them, and they need to take some time just to relax, you know what I mean? But they're doing fuck knows how many shows over the course of a short period of time, because, you know, you're not going to drag out a 30-day tour over 6 months because you're not going to make money that way.
Yeah, it's taxing. So. You can damage your vocal cords. You can get sick.
Yeah.
Anything. You can drink too much alcohol the night before.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
and, you know, it's a genre where live... you give it your absolute all.
Yeah, all your heart, like, yeah, energy.
Yeah, you put your heart and soul into it, and that's what I think that's the more important element when it comes to live performance. Yeah. It's the passion and the energy, yeah.
Definitely agree.
That's my overused word, energy.
Energy, passion, energy.
Egregious.
And back to the harmonies. Did you notice in the chorus, he screams under the chorus as well.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
I love
Diggers, that. I can't think of many of the times I've heard it, but I would have. And it makes it so powerful.
I think just now that it's funny that you mentioned that, I have heard it before. I can't think where. But you're like, I'm like, that's cool. I think Killswitch Engage do it a fair bit as well.
Makes sense.
Does their bass player do cleans?
You better not.
No, Blink 182 is another band.
No,
I'm just going for bands. Bass player that sings.
But, you know, Adam D from Killswitch, for instance, he can.
He can,
you know, great musician all around, and producer for that matter. But
yeah.
He sings really good cleans, but can also scream. You know, and if you got Jesse or Howard, depending on what
area Kills,
what area you're listening to, but Jesse now, Then you often hear either it'll be live, it'll be Adam, or but in the, you know, in the recorded track it'll just be a dub, but you'll hear a clean and he does it
right.
Sort of working together. So it does pop up more than you think, but it's really, really cool. Good that you mentioned that.
There's nothing that guy can't do, hey.
Like, Adam D.
Yeah, just sick guitarist,
yeah.
Sick singer, mad producer.
He played, I think he, in the first lineup of Killswitch, might have been under a different name. He played drums.
he did.
Yeah.
I was actually looking at their wiki a while back. He was their drummer.
Yeah, there you go. But just on the, before we, you know, I know you're really desperate to say something here, Joel, but I just got so much.
I'm always like, real close to the mic, looking at you.
Hurry up. Can I talk now? Can I talk
Stop
now?
Stop speaking.
But just on the topic of Killswitch, Jason from Bury Tomorrow, I feel like, you know, his cleans remind me a little bit of Howard Jones with the tone. Not as rich,
still high and powerful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and just really.
I can see that. Yeah,
yeah.
Intro, that first bit, he was singing.
They had a lot of presence, you know, a lot of presence.
When it doesn't seem like full deep chest voice like Howard Jones, but sort of mid.
Howard
mid
Jones,
chest, I guess.
Howard Jones is a freak. Yeah, it's like all just so much diaphragm in Howard. Yeah. Howard Jones is. Singing
powerhouse, you'd call that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What are we itching to say over here, mate?
Nothing really. That was it. It's a good song. You've listened to him a bit more than me, though, Daniel. Any other good songs you like?
Absolutely. I think the entire Black Flame album. So this is the title track of their most recent album from 2018.
New.
I was hooked on the entire album for probably about 3 or 4 weeks. I had it on repeat. And Black Flame was the first song I heard, and listening now, it's still my favourite track off that album. And in terms of other songs, I'd check out that album first and foremost, because I think that's what you can expect from them now. I read in an interview, I believe it was with Daniel, the lead singer, that they're trying to appeal to a wider audience, which is why you hear all these weird influences.
Yeah, because I haven't heard about them before this album, which is a bit of a shame. But I think whoever you're signed to, your label must have to market you, and they just didn't get marketed.
I mean, they've been around for about 13 years, you know, and I only heard of them this year. And
how many records have they done in those 13 years?
Oh, I think 4 or 5.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Okay,
and for this one, they went back to the original, this first guy that helped them release and produced it.
Yeah.
The first album, they're using him again.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's worked. I think it's been their most, commercially, their most successful album. I think their fan base is growing, evidently.
No, I'm a fan. I want to see them live.
Yeah, when they're in town, I'll be hitting them up for sure. In terms of other tracks, though, back to the actually answering your question, for me, the close second off that album is...
Wait, let me guess. More Than Mortal.
Yes.
Oh, it's a banger. You told me, like, oh, bro, it's a good one. Check it out.
It's a really good one, too.
The Bill Cosby voice when he said it.
Yeah.
Of course I did.
I like the Earthbound as well. It's a bit older. Yeah. It's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But not as good as Black Flame and More Than Mortal.
Mm.
All right, Julian, this is your fucking favourite question, mate. What other bands do they sound like? Because I've kind of said... Killswitch, as we touched on, some Parkway, but with cleans, like Parkway with cleans, and a bit more melodic. Fuck, Parkway's melodic, whatever. And Azalea Dying, maybe. It's hard to do this because sometimes you can say a band sounds like it, but it's only like one facet of the band will sound same.
Yeah,
and is it really enough to draw parallels across? Because you might not like
only knowing that one song by them, and I said I got like an In Flamesy kind of vibe, but like sort of more of the last decade of In Flames rather than their old Melodeath style. So. It was more like looking towards hard rock than like harder heavy metal, I guess.
Like we were saying, this song is like a step up from hard rock. It's like hard rock to screams is like this is the first step. Any other, what do you reckon, dude?
Killswitch are a massive, like, I think I wouldn't necessarily say they're an influence, but you can tell that there's similar sounds there, and even really early Avenged Sevenfold, just going back to the harmonies that they like to use, and I think Bury Tomorrow like to use them a fair bit these days. The guitars are busy and they work so well together, and you
Heaps of lead.
Yeah.
So much. It's almost like
it's great.
Progressive melodic metal.
Yeah.
In there. It's fucking amazing.
Mm. So if you wanna, you know, even think back as far as Waking the Fallen with Avenged Sevenfold.
We're going to talk about Avenged Sevenfold every week.
Yeah, well, every time I'm here anyway. but you know, it's just, you know, they're one of those modern bands that actually use guitar harmonies. So it's just great. It's really refreshing to see. And Parkway use them too. Parkway use them as well. And, Jeff, and what's the other guy, Luke? Is that the other guitarist? Yeah,
Luke Kilpatrick, yeah.
Yeah, like they harmonise so well together. Those minor thirds, man, they're beautiful.
Do you think that's something that only comes from experience? Because you look at the Parkway guys, they've been doing it since, 2003? Like, arguably about 2000. Mm. You know, and you said these guys
almost the same
playing,
time, yeah.
You guys have been playing for fucking ages, like 13 years or whatever you said it was. I know that you'll have really good guitarists that are just good together straight off the bat, but I think... it's fair to say that kind of thing comes with experience as well. What do you reckon?
Yep, definitely. It definitely does.
Sorry, not just playing, but like writing together.
Yeah, 100%. I think as a synergy. You got to bounce off each other. I think you've got to grow as a unit as well. So I think bands, if they, you know, have bands that have longevity in terms of their members, then you know,
I'm fine. Joel's just patted me on the back because I was leaning forward. I'm actually fine. I'm just sitting here thinking and listening to what Daniel's saying.
Yeah, but he's not gonna throw
it
up.
Fucks
it's all
with,
right.
No, it fucks with you having two people staring at you now, doesn't it? I was sitting over there last week, and I was just like, I felt like I was in an interview.
I'm actually loving the attention personally. It's great. Okay.
Joel starts leaning.
No pressure. I just love the attention. Classic Daniel.
But yeah, age and experience. And stuff
absolutely.
Like
yeah, working. You know, you grow together. I think. Back to my point, I think bands with longevity with their members, with that continuity is probably the right word. You can see them grow musicians.
Are these the same guys that have been in the band the whole time?
I'm not sure about the entire time, but I think a while.
Yeah, okay.
At least I think I've done at least a few records together.
Yeah, okay, so, cool.
Because you get tighter and tighter, and you just, when you play together, it would be smoother and. You know, you'd improve as a guitarist, and so would they. So
it's a presence of mind thing as well. Yeah. You know, if someone fucks up, you know you can cover them. Or, you know, if someone has a tendency to fuck up, you know where their faults are, where their strengths are.
Yeah.
In the material you're playing as well. So.
Yeah, and I can speak from experience too. Like in the covers band that I'm in, my co-guitarist Robbie, we know each other now. We've been playing together about 5 years.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we can sort of feel each other out. We can read each other really well. Yeah. And we work very tight as a unit. We're like, you know, almost like a package deal, you know, like
you form a synergy.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And then a few months ago I filled in for another covers band. Their lead guitarist was out of action for a little bit and they needed someone to fill in for a gig. So I learned all these new songs, had a couple of rehearsals sessions with them, and it was still good live, but it felt like something was missing, you know. I couldn't quite lock in with the other guitarists.
The same vibe, eh?
Yeah, even though it was the same kind of lineup, similar style songs, covers band, like you think it would be an easy sort of transition. Still went all right, but it's just it wasn't quite the same, you know.
I guess that goes to show that no matter how like you get five guys in a room that are all shit hot in their own right, that doesn't mean they're going to play well together.
You can
all know the subject matter, but you've got to have that working together.
Yeah.
Are you gonna bring it up this week?
Are we going to get into the bangs? How many bangs, boys? Joel, we'll start with you.
Fuck, look, it's a cracker. Best song I've heard this year. I'm going to give it a solid 9. Not a 10. Just a 9.
Hard 10.
Just a 9. No, like, the second verse and the first verse, man, the screams are so brutal, like, so strong, like, so powerful. The lyrics, amazing. Guitar work's so good. It's just such a good, solid song. Who's next?
Julian.
Oh, okay, me.
I've heard it fucking 3 times.
3 times on the way. No, I've heard it a few times. Look, it does start kind of with a breakdown, so it gets points from me for that. Like, I don't remember there being, like, any really significant breakdowns in there, you know.
Loses marks for that, yeah.
Loses marks. He's not talking about his ex-girlfriend, so that loses points for that again. No. I think, just sort of, even based on what you two guys have said, I'm going to give it a 7, because I think, maybe even a 7.5, I think that, if only just for the technicality of it and the skill and the synergy between the instruments and the two vocalists, it deserves a good rating just for that. It's not my sort of go-to style, as you know some things are. I still think it's a banger. I still think it's good. So for that reason, I'd give it a 7.
Yeah, excellent. Hang on, you said 7, 7.5, then 7. What are you going with?
7.25? 7.25 doesn't exist. No, we only move up by half.
Okay,
we talked about this before.
All right, so 7. I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, I'm just comparing it to my first podcast with you guys, Consume. I gave that a 9. I think I like this more than I like Consume. So,
personal preference.
And.
Nothing's better than Consume.
You're close to the door, mate. Yeah, on your way. it's just a beautiful song all the way through. Lyrically, I like it. The fact that it got me to pay attention to the lyrics is something. That's a big win for me. You know, it drew me in from the first listen, and I still love it now. There's only a few songs in my life that I can say that about. You know,
there you go.
And it's just, you know, so awesome in so many aspects. The guitar harmonies, like I've mentioned countless times before. The technical elements. You know, the drumming's fantastic. It ties in really well with the riffs that are going on. Bass is solid all the way through, and the screams and the cleans, phenomenal. And Jason just really sort of belts out those clean vocals.
We can't be sleeping on these UK bands anymore. Like, they're all producing good shit.
Yep,
there you go.
Plenty of talent coming from the UK.
Oh yeah. Anything else you boys want to say?
No, I think we've said enough, eh? Personally, I have anyway.
I didn't realise that cupboard door was going to slam that loud, so...
I'll edit it out.
Yeah, it's going to edit it out. I'm going to edit it out. Sorry for anyone listening to that on headphones.
Yeah.
Deafen them.
That's it.
Talk to us on Twitter. What is it called?
At Twitter.
At The Bangers List Podcast, right. Maybe. I think it's The Bangers List Podcast now. Or The Bangers List. You'll find us.
Change it again. We've got a new logo. Where'd you get that logo done?
Which one?
The one with that.
Oh, my mate did it for me. Yeah,
it's good. It's like a little chicken drumstick made of something, like someone's fist.
And playlist will be updated on Spotify.
I'll do that now.
Check it out. Let us know what you think. We'll see you next week. Take it easy. Peace.
Peace. Where's the sense of guilt? Where's the sign? Lost soul in the love of grave. We're given a name. Our death, we are all the same. We're blind. Lost soul.